Our stewardship journey reading for today is from Ezekiel chapter 36. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Stewardship, particularly for some reason, the stewardship of God's gift of financial wealth, is an uncomfortable subject to talk about and an unpopular subject to preach on. One Sunday morning, shortly before worship began, a pastor was preoccupied with thoughts about how he could ask the congregation for more money for church repairs. He was even more troubled when he learned that the regular organist was sick. When the last-minute substitute organist asked him what hymns to play, the distracted pastor replied with a sigh, "Oh, whatever you think is best." Opening the service with announcements, the pastor said, "Brothers and sisters, we are in great difficulty. The roof repairs have cost twice as much as we expected, and we need another $4,000. Anyone who is willing to pledge another $100 more, please stand up." Without missing a beat, the organist played the Star Spangled Banner. Now, during this stewardship journey that we're beginning today and will be continuing over the next 2 weeks, we're not going to trick you or corner you into giving more than you are able. But we will be honest about our relationship with the Lord and our willingness to give thanks and what that says about the appreciation we have for the gifts that we receive. At times it might be uncomfortable, but it will be open and honest. One Sunday morning, the pastor waited for the offering to be taken and then brought back up to the altar. And when the plate came up with even less money than usual, he began his prayer, "Well, Lord, we thank you for the safe return of the offering plates." Today, as we begin this stewardship journey, I'd ask you to take inventory of yourself. We just did our taxes, right? So we all received a copy of our giving statement and hopefully made that tax deduction. So you probably have an idea of what you gave last year. So we know where we stand in our offerings. But what's not on that sheet, the more important question, is how do you feel about it? Do you give willingly or begrudgingly? How we feel about our offerings is a reflection of our relationship with God. And unfortunately, we all too often find ourselves avoiding or even not even wanting to think about our givings. So what's that say about our relationship with the Lord? A young man who had completed his time at the seminary thought that before he accepted a call to be a pastor and find a church, he needed more understanding of why people are fearful and tempted in certain circumstances. He decided that the best way to do this would be to enroll in the police academy. And one of the questions on his certification exam was, in an emergency, how would you quickly and wisely disperse a frantic crowd? His answer? Pass an offering plate. Unfortunately, we tend to hide from and struggle against our offerings. But this isn't how it's supposed to be. This isn't the model that God puts forth in Holy Scripture. So what's wrong? In Scripture, God tells us that he loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to be cheerful givers. Cheerful givers? That seems like almost a foreign concept in so many ways. And it's because of our sinful nature. Just think about it. You know, two toddlers, they sit together and they play with their toys, and one toddler, he reaches for a toy next to the other one, and what's the other toddler do? He grabs it first, right? And he pulls it close to himself so he doesn't have to share. Now, did anyone have to teach that child not to share, to keep the toy for himself? No, you don't got to teach that. Keeping things for ourselves comes naturally. Keeping things for ourselves come from that nature that we're born with, the old sinful nature. See, everything that you need in your life, God gives to you. And that same sinful nature that's at work in the toddler still lives on in us as adults. And that sinful nature can show its head when we prepare our church offerings. On the way out of the house, do you or your spouse say to the other, "Do you have something to put in the offering plate this week?" See, that would be a leftover offering. Or do you plan your budget? You know, listing each and everything out, planning really well, and then at the end, see what's left over to give to the church. You know, that would be a leftover offering as well. And God isn't looking for leftovers when we prepare our thank you for all the blessings that he's given to us. Now, despite that old sinful nature that resides in each of us, it's possible for us to give back with a sincere and thankful heart. In fact, God's word has a beautiful plan for his people to prepare their thank offerings with a thank-filled heart. God provides everything that you need to support this body and life. God gives us our food, our clothes, our home, our health. God even provides for us our money, our wealth, and our ability to bring it in. So how do we offer thanks to God for everything that he gives us? Is it with leftovers? Some people don't like talking about this, right? And they say that what they give is between them and God. Between them and God. And I'd agree with that. What you give is indeed between you and God. And you have your thoughts about what you give to the church. And because what you give to the church is between you and God, you need to be well informed about what God thinks about this. Now, some of God's thoughts on the matter include these from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, for they gave according to their means. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God has several more thoughts about our thank offerings, and God has designed all of these thoughts to help us prepare our thank offerings. And when it comes to preparing an appropriate offering to say thank you to God, Satan is constantly trying to get in the way and shackle the hearts and the thoughts, the believers, to make them stagnant, to stay where they are, to stay in one place. There's an old story about how you teach an elephant to dance. And the first step to teaching an elephant to dance is to train it to stay where you want it, to stand in one place. So the trainer, while an elephant is young, shackles one leg and ties it to a stake in the ground. And as it grows up, it learns that this chain and the shackle keeps it where it is, in this little location. And then later on, trainers find that as the elephant grows up and becomes this big, strong, powerful beast, all they need to do is simply put a metal bracelet on the elephant's leg, and it will stay where it is, thinking that it's still chained to the ground again and not able to move. There's a picture. This is a picture of how Satan makes people think that they need to stand in one place when it comes to our thanksgiving to the Lord. Satan makes people think that they can't change. It's as if our hearts have been set in stone. Now, God is many things. And I think one of those things is a doctor. And as such, he correctly diagnoses his people's problems. His people, they have heart trouble. They have hearts of stone. And only a heart transplant will correct the problem. So God consults with his people about the transplant he'll do. The surgery that God performs for us is described in our stewardship text from Ezekiel. And he says, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now with these new hearts, God's people are now free from Satan's shackles, free to move around and make new decisions. In our text, Ezekiel says that God, that while he's doing this transplant, he'll also give us an implant. Verse 27, the first part says, I will put my spirit within you. Ezekiel was echoing the words of King David here in Psalm 51 when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David was asking God to implant deep within him a right spirit, a steadfast spirit. He wanted God to put in him a spirit that would not waver from God's word. Instead of the sins that he had committed, David wanted to follow God's direction for his life. God creates a clean heart and renews a right spirit within us too. Now God has prepared a few steps that we can follow as we offer our thanks to him. First, he gives us clear, steadfast, and straight thinking in the words of St. Peter. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you. And God gives us a basic guideline in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 where Paul writes, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up that he may prosper. And first, think of your thank offerings each week. Each Lord's Day, every Sunday, think of the offerings that you're going to give to the Lord. And second, store it aside. Set it apart. Prepare it ahead of time. Not on the way to church. As you're rushing out the door, you say, what do we have left over this week? And finally, we must prepare our thanksgiving, our offerings, in proportion as to how God has blessed us with prosperity. See, God recognizes that each family, each person prospers differently. Some prosper more, some prosper less, but each does prosper. And prosper just means what you bring in, what you make, what you earn that week. And if God gives you a little, then what he expects back is little. But if God blesses you with a tremendous amount, then our thanksgivings reflect that. Paul further explains in his second letter to the congregation at Corinth, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, by their own accord. See, each person prepares a thank offering according to what he or she is able to give according to their means. And each person prepares it according of their own accord, that is, accord to what they have decided between themselves and God. See, when you heard the words, I baptize you, whether you were an adult or like we have today, as a child, God did a miracle in you that day. Sprinkling water on you in baptism, God is giving you a new heart, a new spirit, a new life in him. And God repeats that miracle of death and life again and again every day that you remember that you are a baptized child of God. Jesus offered himself on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins, including the days when we forget our baptism, when we forget our identity, with the days when we bring thank offerings that are leftovers. Christ was raised to new life by the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father raises us and gives us new life as well. And God prepares our hearts for this thanking that we do for him. Our offerings are a giving back, not a price or a buying into. And I think that's such an important distinction that we need to acknowledge. It's not like the little boy who sat through the church service until the offering plate came around and his dad started to prepare their offering. And the boy tugged on his dad's sleeve and he said, "Dad, you don't have to pay for me. I'm under five." Godly giving is an act of thanks and not of obligation. And until we understand this, until we really take it to heart and know it, we'll never really understand why God asks us to give. Until then, your relationship with Him, until you understand it, your relationship with Him, it is sort of fractured. Now, as we move forward through this stewardship journey the next 2 weeks, I ask that you keep your hearts open to anything that God might stir within you or tell you. The way we give thanks is a reflection of our relationship with God. Our stewardship text for today tells us, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." Now, if you give thanks to God with a heart of stone, then you harden the rest of your life and your relationship with God as well. This heart of stone and heart of flesh stuff is all, it's love language, right? When God is talking about that, He's talking about love. God wants to love you. And He wants nothing more than you to love Him back. And then He wants to turn around and bless you because of that relationship. So allow Him to turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh and just see what it does for your entire life. May God prepare our hearts to always offer thanks to Him with joyfulness and happiness. Amen. Now know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We sing together.